Hello, welcome to the Eating for Health podcast. I'm Dr. Harriet Holm, founder of Healthy Eating Doctor, registered nutritionist and doctor. I studied medicine at Cambridge University, worked in the NHS for over a decade, have a PhD in genetics, lecture on nutrition, and was commissioned to write a novel degree combining culinary skills, nutrition and health. I'm on a mission to break down nutrition myths and share science-backed nutrition to help empower you. I'll share some interviews, theories and practical tips focused around nutrition and health. Stay tuned to find out more. It's really great to have Letty King on today, who's a women's movement coach and the founder of Planet Mama, a movement hub for pre and postnatal women. She has almost a decade of experience helping individuals and groups maximise their health and wellness. However, her journey didn't start here. After leaving Leeds University, she took her degree in the history of art to London and spent the first years of her career working in an award-winning advertising and marketing agency. But realising this wasn't her dream, she then carved out her own successful career working in the health and fitness industry, completing numerous training in fitness and yoga, as well as qualification in sports and remedial massage, before taking specialist training in pre and postnatal movement with Burrell Education and the Uma Dinsmore Thule. Her fascination with the power of the female body led to the birth of Planet Mama, which supports women both physically and mentally. Physically through fitness and yoga by helping them to feel comfortable and strong in their bodies, and mentally by breaking down taboos and educating new and expectant mums so they can feel empowered. Follow Letty at Planet Mama to read her blog and download her free ebook. So I'm really delighted to have Letty on to talk about movement in pregnancy and after birth. And I'm going to let her introduce herself and tell us a little bit about herself to begin with.
Hi. So thank you so much for inviting me on. I'm super excited to be here and to chat to you today about pregnancy and postnatal movement and why it's so important. So my name is Letty. I'm a women's movement coach. So I specialise with women, but also in pre and postnatal. And then I am the founder of a company called Planet Mama. So we're a movement hub. We aim to provide movement through the whole of the stages of pregnancy, to birth and to the postnatal period. Yeah, supporting through movement and then also through kind of empowering and education. We just think it's really important that women have the knowledge so that they can enjoy their pregnancy, their birth as much as possible. Yeah, so I'm happy to be here to chat to you.
Great, thank you. So I think that brings us on to my sort of first question. So I think the sort of knowledge and power for people to know what they're doing and why they're doing is really important. So what's different about movement during pregnancy?
So I think the big considerations to take into account when you're moving, when you're pregnant, is the tremendous change that your body is going through. So we obviously have the physical changes. So we have the physical things that we see. You see the growing bump. And of course, that's growing through the whole 9 months. So with those physical changes, there comes the postural changes. So the bump grows, the baby grows, the amniotic fluid, boobs grow. So everything becomes really front loaded. So posture changes. And then there's the hormonal changes. So that affects the tissues and the flexibility and the sensitivity of the tissues, and then all the emotional charge that comes with being pregnant as well. So it's just really important to take into consideration the changes that are happening to your body, and just kind of honor the reason for why you're training, really. As long as you are I don't have any complications in your pregnancy, it's really important to keep moving, and the benefits of it are they're huge. So there's so many benefits to following a program which is just helping you to support your bump and just make you feel like you're going to enjoy your pregnancy and feel strong through the whole of your pregnancy as well, which is really important.
That's great. And I think probably the majority of women are fit and healthy during pregnancy. Obviously there are some where it's a real struggle and have significant health issues, but certainly, and it's often a real focus for women, isn't it, sort of looking after themselves, taking that time out to do so, to eat better, or think about the baby that they're growing. So to sort of general self-care and wellness, and exercise is such an important part of that.
Yeah, no, 100%. And it used to be, research has moved on a lot from when they used to tell pregnant ladies to just sit on the sofa and put their feet up for 9 months. And now the government's recommending that people do 150 minutes a week if they can, and two of those being strength as well. So you're just making sure that you're staying active and keeping healthy through the whole of the pregnancy. I mean, it's been linked to helping with the kind of the aches and pains that come with pregnancy. And so there's quite a few studies done in 2019, which were saying that the increase of exercise and movement in pregnancy kind of directly links to a decrease in your just basically pain in the body. So your bodily pain, lower back pain, and then also sciatic pain as well. So yeah, so there's quite a lot of evidence proving and showing that actually if we can keep moving through pregnancy, then it's a really, really positive thing to be adding into your journey.
That's great. And I guess probably sort of two things from that if you are one of those women, so certainly I had hyperemesis both times and pregnancy was just a matter of survival, that don't beat yourself up if you're not able to do it, but if you are, then fantastic. And I guess so much has sort of moved on, really. So I remember when I was, you know, sort of back in medical school, you know, 20 years ago, the sort of treatment for back pain, for example, was rest, in the same way that, you know, you're sort of talking about mobilization and helping with those aches and pains. And I presume, you know, like pelvic girdle syndrome, that sort of pain around the pelvis, is all helped by, you know, gentle exercise and mobilization, in the same way that back pain is now as well. You don't sort of prescribe rest for back pain, you prescribe, you know, gentle mobilization.
And also importantly is, and I think which something is sometimes shied away from, is just making sure that you're working your deep abs in pregnancy as well. So you're connecting your breath to that pelvic floor and then also to your deep corset abs, and that just that breathing and that connection and that moving and the linking just can really help with lower back pain as well. And also with the pelvic girdle pain as well, just having to support the body as it changes. But yeah, just coming back to your point about if you do suffer from morning sickness or even more, just feeling nauseous for so long. Of course, yeah, definitely don't beat yourself up about it if you can't get all the exercise in that they're saying. But just like walking outside, that's it. It's just getting some fresh air, getting some mobility and some movement in your body. I mean, it does wonders for the body and also for your mental health as well.
Yeah, absolutely. And also birth is such a physical process that keeping fit for that and, you know, keeping sort of aerobic and anaerobic fitness, I imagine, you know, is a really, really important feature of this as well, that presumably if you are able to exercise and keep your fitness up, that it probably, I mean, have there been any studies or anything, or do you know more about that? Does it help with birth?
Yeah, so that's one of the great things that exercise can do. It can help you prepare you for birth. So physically, there's been lots of studies that have compared pregnancy and then birth itself to like running a marathon. So it's a big endurance event. So for the whole of the body, for every single day, there was a study that came out, I think it was in was maybe 2 years ago now. We're just talking about the strain of that happens on the body is basically the same as an endurance athlete every day of pregnancy. So then you come to birth, and birth in itself is a massive endurance event. So if you are nice and strong for it, and your legs are strong and your cardiovascular system is strong, then that's going to help with the actual birth itself. But then also with the time frame afterwards, that really because one day you're pregnant and the next day you've got a baby here, and you're expected to just be able to get on with day-to-day life. Like, you haven't just been pregnant for 9 months and you haven't just given birth and gone through this life-changing event. If you have that core strength, if you have that the strength just in your arms, and you know how to lift and move properly, it can just really help with those early postpartum periods. So yeah,
I think it's really different first time round, where you might be able to get a bit of that rest and recuperation, but second time round, if you've got an active toddler or, you know, as well. I remember, I think my daughter was born on the Wednesday and I was back on the, you know, the nursery run on Monday, you know, driving my, you know, it was straight out. I think I was in the park on the Saturday.
Wow.
I was really lucky. I, you know, recovered really quickly and was able to bounce back, and certainly not a sort of competition. I don't want anyone to feel guilty, but it's so much.
But you just have to get on.
You do. However, you know, you've got someone else to look after as well, who's running around all day and doesn't really understand, or certainly, you know, my son was too young to understand that mummy just given birth and might need a bit of a break. So I imagine that, you know, exercise would really help help with that, you know, keep you fit and strong and recover quicker.
Yeah, no, definitely. And I think it just gives you, you kind of end up with these tools in your little toolbox, as you might call it, to just help you kind of like move and get around on for day to day life. Because yeah, gosh, my one-to-one clients who I work with, and they've on the having their second baby, I always think it's amazing that they can obviously have a newborn and then running around after a toddler, very active toddler, who doesn't quite know what's happened.
Yeah, it's certainly different to first time around. Yeah. I think, you know, when you're able to sleep when the baby sleeps and stuff, and then it's very
like
different.
No, now just do the laundry.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And then just going back onto kind of like helping for labor itself. So there's certain movements that you can actually do and exercises that you can do can kind of just help actually the labor process itself. So if you are planning on going in for a vaginal birth, if that's what your plan is, then certain movements into the hips can kind of really help to kind of get the baby into the right position for you, help to open up the hips to make everything a little bit more mobile and a little bit more more open. So yeah, so there's so many benefits to making sure we're moving towards the end of pregnancy.
And from what stage should you be starting to do those movements then? When do you recommend you start?
So from the staying active for the whole event is great, but then starting to do specific movements when you're coming into the final trimester is really recommended. And this is just can be from like low lunges, just circling on your right hip in a clockwise manner, and then the opposite way on the left hip. If your baby is down and in the right position, kind of if you want to get your him or her into the optimal position, there's certain movements that you can do as well, like on the left side, just kind of encourage the baby to come down into that front left side of the pelvis. So we can hope for the easiest exit. So you can start doing that from kind of like the last month, focusing on that left-hand side, just kind of getting into those birthing positions and yeah, getting the movement into those hips so they can get those hips nice and open and used to that kind of opening flow and opening spiral of the body.
And how often do you recommend doing those? Is that sort of an everyday thing?
So and like doing them every day, yeah, so spending like even just 5-10 minutes on every day, just even just putting up one leg or just getting onto the mat and just having a little bit of a wiggle, and you'll probably find that those just gentle wiggles and gentle movements just will help to alleviate any other aches and pains that you might have from just the bump that's exponentially growing in the last month. You can probably remember that.
Yeah, and putting pressure on everything else. And yeah, no, I do. So there will be women listening that do really high intensity exercise as well, or, you know, maybe run marathons. So are there any limitations or any things that you shouldn't do during pregnancy with when it comes to exercise?
Yeah, so you just want to really be mindful with what's going on with your body and what your body is used to. So if you are a runner and you are an endurance runner, then your body is very much used to running. So if you were to completely stop running, then it's going to be weird. Your body's already going through this change of pregnancy. So then to suddenly stop running completely, it's going to feel a bit abnormal. So what we recommend is to par back the intensity that you're doing, and just think about the reason for why you're running. And see if you can get that level of endorphin or release from something else, which is maybe a little bit more mindful for your body. So if someone is just a casual runner, I will recommend that they maybe look for an alternative way, because running is quite a high impact exercise, high impact on your joints, high impact on your pelvic floor. And also your body's gone through a lot of postural changes. We talked about the change in weight distribution. So it basically puts lots of pressure on different parts of the body. So we like to kind of, think on ways in which you can get those endorphins and get the feelings of release, but maybe it's from something else. If you're doing it from a mental mind perspective, maybe you start incorporating some yoga. If it's from an endurance level, can you switch it and can you maybe do a static cycle or long walks instead of putting that kind of strain on the body?
Okay, that's great. So I guess it's sort of just turning down the level of intensity, really, because you're carrying all that extra weight. You've got increased your ligament stretch. So you're presumably more likely or higher risk of getting an injury as well, which is why you'd reduce your intensity slightly.
Yeah, exactly. So you've got all the pregnancy hormones, you've got the relaxin, which contributes to the laxity in your in the joints, but also you've got the progesterone and your estrogen, which kind of leads to their sensitivity as well. So the tissues become more sensitized. And then you have the pelvic floor, which is taking so much strain and then have the bump on it. And yeah, so just lowering the intensity is what's recommended.
Great. And I guess that brings me really nicely on to sort of afterbirth then. So
yeah,
two things: and how quickly can you start exercising? And also, what's sort of the half-life of relaxing? Like, how quickly does that stop having its effects, and do your ligaments toughen up and you know, get back to how they were before?
Yeah. So I'll take the first question first about the journey back into exercise. And if you just think about all the changes that the body has gone through, and we spoke about it earlier, we spoke about the massive changes, the physiological, the hormonal, then birth itself is an event. So you kind of want to take it nice and slowly. So in the UK, they recommend that you start back at after your 6-week check. So that's your 6 weeks of rehabbing your body and just allowing yourself to rest, allowing all the inflammation to go down that's occurred from the birth, whether you had a tummy birth or a vaginal birth. But you can start in that interim period, just starting to do some gentle pelvic floor work, some gentle 360 breath, which just helps you to connect with your pelvic floor and then also your deep abs as well. And you'll probably find if it's your first child, then maybe you'll have a little bit more time to have a little bit of rest and recover. But if you said, like you said earlier, you're running around after your toddler as well, you kind of, life is active. You don't just stop. So there is a little bit of movement and just being mindful of what you're doing with your body. And then, slowly rehabbing the core is what's really important when coming back into exercise postpartum, is just being mindful of the process that the body has gone through. So working on the pelvic floor, working on the deep, deep core muscles. So more than the superficial six-pack muscles, those deep, deep core muscles. Work on that stability in your hips, so the glutes, kind of like the foundation for everything. And one of the common things postpartum is sore knees and sore ankles and sore hips. And if we're working on that stability in the glutes, that's going to help hold the structure up. And then also working on those postural changes that happen. So the slight rounding of the upper chest, so you're kind of opening up the front of the body again, giving up the front of the body a bit more space, and then strengthening through the back of the body as well. So you kind of want to start slow, really slow, and start to build it up, and then gradually start to load the body with gentle weights, bands, and then build up to kind of a bit more of a just strengthening yourself so you can get back to the exercises that you did before, just get back to feeling strong for life as a mum, because mum life is hard, right? Everything's heavy. The babies get bigger.
They do definitely. So how long do you sort of, I mean, obviously each woman's going to be different. It's going to depend on what your birth was like and your birth experience. And but what sort of average time scale of getting back to where you were, sort of fitness and exercise?
So like you hit the nail on the head by saying everybody is different. Every birth is different. Every pregnancy is different. Everyone's carried their pregnancy differently as well, and their baby different as well. So I wouldn't like to give a time frame on it for a general one, but they do say that you are postpartum for the rest of your life, pregnant for 9 months and then postpartum for the rest of your life. But within kind of 6 months, if you've been working out from and following a specific postpartum program, so working on the core and then slowly gradually building it up, most people I work with tend to be back to where they were probably within about 8 to 9, 10 months. But it really does depend on the intensity that you're working out and the dedication that you have to it, and also the time you have for it.
Imagine the energy levels as well. It's going to depend on how much your baby sleeps. Yeah. You know, are you up all night? Do you get any rest? I guess it probably depends on a whole host of postpartum factors as well. But no, I think also just
the
social media images a lot of the time. You know, I think there's a lot more sort of truth out there now about what happens with your postpartum body, that, you know, you don't just walk out of the hospital with your baby and a completely flat stomach feeling straight back to normal, that, you know, that doesn't happen. And you need to take that time to look after yourself and, you know, recover. And I love that you say you're postpartum for life. I think that's very true. You know, you're never quite the same person.
Yeah. Exactly. And of course, like, you can go back to doing, and I'm sure you'll go back to what you were doing before having kids as well. But there's been a shift in the body that has happened, and you've brought one, two, three, however many children into the world. Mm. That, yeah, there is a change. So it's a journey. I kind of always think about it like a smile, in fact. So if you're training when you're pregnant, then as the further and further along the pregnancy you get the lower the intensity. And then you have the birth, you have your rest period, you have your connection with the baby, you have your nurturing to yourself, and then you slowly build it up the other side.
That's great. That's a lovely analogy. So thanks for relaxing then. How quickly does that, you know, sort of settle that down and your ligaments get back to where they were?
So it does depend on whether you're breastfeeding or not. So relaxin stays in your blood system for a while after you've been breastfeeding. So they say it can stay, all the pregnancy hormones can stay in post-breastfeeding for 12 months. So that's quite a long time, but obviously to varying degrees. However, what's interesting is the latest research actually shows that the correlation between the amount of relaxin in your system doesn't actually mean that you're more flexible. So yes, there is an amount of relaxing that obviously allows for those hips to open and allows for the laxity in the joints, but the levels don't necessarily correlate to more mobility, which is really, really interesting. And there seems to be a lot more research going into relaxing. I think historically, it's got quite a lot of blame for a lot of the things that happen in pregnancy. So if people have pelvic girdle pain, they're quite often turn around and say, oh, it's just because you've got relaxin in your body. It's just because all your ligaments are really lax. Well, actually, research now shows that that's not necessarily the case. Actually, the levels actually peak quite early on. And the reason that we have this sensitivity is actually more to do with all of the pregnancy hormones combine, create a sensitivity versus a huge amount of laxity.
Oh, that's really interesting.
Yeah. So it's one of those things again, which some people will feel the effects and they feel a bit more mobile, whereas other people, they won't feel as loose or as mobile as possible as other people do. But the important things to do is just to make sure that when you're coming about postpartum, you're working on that strength. You're working on making sure that you can, you have strong legs before you start to go running. You're supporting your joints and supporting the high impact that you might go back to with a strength program as well. So making there was a study done, a great study actually, I think it was 2019 again, which was about returning to running postpartum, but talking about little things that you should be able to make sure that you can do before you start running. So be able to do like single leg squats or form single leg sit up to stands, even working on single leg lunges, single leg bridges. So we're just making sure that you're supporting the body globally before you start putting high impact through it.
That sounds really fascinating, actually. So I didn't really know any of that about the relaxin at all. I just thought it was like a sort of dose response. The more relaxin you had, the more your you know, the ligament capacity. So that link sounds great to really know when you should be able to start running. Because I think for many women, the 6-week check can be just sort of a bit of a hoop that they jump through, and it doesn't really feel as though much is assessed other than, you know, that the baby's grown a bit and, you know, how are you feeding? Or sort of it feels quite cursory. Certainly it did for me. And I know that a lot of other women feel the same, that it doesn't really feel like a sort of true assessment of whether you're physically capable for going for a run or. So I think actually having a link to see whether you can do straight leg raises or whatever would be really helpful for many women.
Yeah, I can definitely send that over to you guys. The 6-week check is a real funny one, because like you just highlighted, quite often people come out of it really quite disappointed with what they what's just happened. They ask about how whether you're what your mood is like, whether you're having sex, and then yeah, about the baby. And I think and so it's really tricky because we are supposed to have in the UK, you're supposed to have your baby 6 week check, but then you're also supposed to have your maternal one to see mm-hmm. see how you're going. But quite a lot of the time, they're either combined into one, and I think sometimes we don't really know as new mums, we don't really know what we're supposed to ask. And from what I hear, some surgeries do offer the postnatal check for the mums as well, and some don't. And I don't think that they're paid for it.
So I don't know about that.
Is that correct? Can you remember?
But certain, I don't know because I'm not a GP and I was a hospital doctor, but certainly, I mean, GPs are fantastic and I'm in no way, you know, doctor crashing. But it's not just new mums, I think, but even, so I've worked in a GP practice during my training, you know, admittedly not for, you know, more than a few months, but so I know the pressures. I speak to my friends who are GPs and I'm, you know, well aware, having been a hospital doctor for 10, you know, over 10 mm-hmm. years, the pressures. But as a mum and a doctor, I still didn't really know what to ask at my 6 week check. So, you know, and I think I'm fairly informed. So I think it must be, it's a real, I'm sure I'm not the only person. And I think that if you've got a GP who offers that postnatal check, then that's fantastic. But I'm sure that you know, there are probably lots of people in my position who didn't know and maybe didn't get the support that they might have needed, or, you know, a bit more of an assessment about whether you could exercise or when or what or how. But I think it's, there's such immense time pressures that it's really difficult.
Yeah. So I always try to ask, get my clients to kind of go in with a list into their 6 week check so that they kind of feel these are things that they want to ask. And just make sure that if anything is that they are worried about, so they are noticing any dragging, for example, talk about it.
Yeah.
Talk, make sure you're talking about it. If you are leaking, which is so common, like it's not normal, it's fixable. Mm. But talk about it, because if you talk about it, then you're going to get the referrals that you need and you're going to get the help that you need rather than suffering in silence. Just getting your tummy checked, getting a check for any diastasis at all, just seeing how your abs have moved, because diastasis has got a lot of airtime at the moment. Lots of people are talking about it, and there's a lot of fear around it. It's actually not really anything to be feared. The muscles have to move to allow the baby to grow. It's a phenomenon of nature. It's wonderful, but it's just how they go back together again.
So let me just interject there. So just in case anyone is listening and they're pregnant and they haven't been through birth and they don't know what we're talking about here, that this is diastasis rectus, that your abdominal muscles move apart and then it's about how they get back together how you can maybe probably explain it better than I then, but they get back together after birth and it's about ensuring that they do.
Yeah. So it's, as Harriet just said, it's a very, very natural phenomenon that has to happen. The six-pack muscles spread and move, and then there's a line of fascia down the middle of the tummy called the linea alba, and that moves apart, and it's completely natural. And then they come back together again afterwards when the baby is no longer there. But all these tummy muscles have been put on a stretch, so all of them have been put on a stretch, and it just means that your body doesn't have the ability to manage the pressure, the kind of the intra-abdominal pressure internally. So the tummy can't really do what it's supposed to do, which is transfer and manage movement through the body and also kind of to support the spine. So then postpartumly, they come back together again. And sometimes some people have it a little bit wider than others, have a gap down the middle of the tummy, which is quite common. And in lots of instances, within a couple of months, this gap has closed completely. Nature's done its thing. But sometimes people do need a little bit of extra help. And this extra help can simply come from your own breathing and your own deep, deep, deep core exercises. So working with that breath to connect with these deep abs. Yeah, and just being mindful about what you're doing. So mindful about what movements that you're doing to not over-exasperate it. So for example, not sitting out of bed. And basically doing anything that might cause a little bit of a hard Toblerone down the middle of the tummy. But saying that, people can have totally functioning gaps. Some people have diastasis and they've never had a baby. It's just the way that their tummies are. So sometimes there could be a lot of fear about having a gap and lots of poking around, being like, oh, but no, but I've still got one. But as long as you can manage that pressure and you can see that your tummy isn't pushing out and you're not causing a little Toblerone effect or any hard doming down the front of the tummy, then that's okay.
Great. Yeah. Thank you for clearing that up. And I presume you shouldn't be doing, you know, abdominal crunches. You shouldn't be doing, you know, like sit-ups and stuff, because that will make it worse.
Well, yes. So when you are coming back postpartum, you want to think about healing yourself from the inside out. So you think about there's different layers of stomach muscles. You've got your deep abs, which are your pelvic floor, your transverse abdominals, which are the ones that wrap around. And these ones want to work together on holding that almost like the pressure together internally. And then the superficial ones, so the six-pack muscles, which are the ones that you're working when you're doing crunches or the plank or anything like that. And what those are doing is it's working those front muscles. And if you can't control the internal muscle, then it's going to cause, can lead to further damage if you're kind of overstraining with those muscles first.
Okay, great. Thank you. So what should a GP actually be looking for then at the 6-week check?
Yeah, so there was a little bit of uncertainty about what GPs should actually be asking. And there wasn't really any kind of across the board kind of guidelines. So I think it was 2 years ago now, the British Medical Journal published an article kind of summarising what should be covered in the 6-week check. So they kind of say that you should be talking about anything that's social and emotional. So thinking about your mood, just how you're coping with pregnancy, like postpartum, whether you have the support that you need, how the baby's feeding. If you are breastfeeding, is that going well for you? Is the baby feeding okay? And if not, they can signpost you to the resources and support that you might be able to get. And then also thinking about physiologically how you're healing. So how's your bladder control? How's your fecal control? How does it feel? Do you feel heavy? Do you feel dragging? Just kind of asking you about how things are healing, really. And then also asking about any stitches that you might have had. So if you had a tummy birth, so just checking the insertion, checking what the stitch is and how the wound is healing, checking that you are looking after it like a wound and healing it and treating it correctly. And then also any episiotomy stitches as well, just checking how they're feeling. And then also just having a look at your tummy. So just asking them to give a check of you, any diastasis that you might have. So they published this article, which is great because now GPs kind of have a standardized list of questions that they should be looking at and looking for.
Yeah, a benchmark, I guess. But no, that's really handy. Mm. So I'm obviously aware as well that, you know, they aren't PTs, they aren't, you know, exercise specialists. They're looking at sort of from the medical perspective, I guess, in a slightly different way, and also the baby's included in that. But no, that's really helpful, and we'll definitely put a link to that in the show notes so you can go and have a read and empower yourself if you're due for your 6-week check anytime soon. Great.
Yeah, and we'll give you a list of questions that you can go in and ask for as well. So questions that you
Perfect.
Can go in and
Thank
ask.
You. So just to sort of go back, so we've talked a lot about I guess the different benefits of exercise if you're generally well and you're able to be fit and mobile, but I imagine there and I know that there are, but it'd be lovely to hear from you the specific benefits of exercise if you've got gestational diabetes.
Gestational diabetes is one of those which exercise is actually really, really beneficial for in pregnancy. I think it's something like 60% of women who develop it, they can manage it just with eating well and exercising as well. So they recommend the same amount. So they recommend that you're doing your 150 minutes a week and having those strength workouts in there as well. But these can just be getting out there and walking, just making sure that you're being active. And then yeah, being monitored as well regularly by your healthcare provider.
Yeah. And I think, you know, gestational diabetes is an important thing to mention, just partly because 50% of women after they've had their baby will develop type 2 diabetes in the 5 years after. So yeah, it's high risk for that, really. And if you can manage that through diet and exercise and then keep that up after you've had your baby, is, you know, will help your long-term risk of developing type 2 diabetes and your health in general.
Yeah, so it's just creating the good framework and the good habits.
Absolutely. Yeah.
So then you can keep them postpartum as well. And yeah, like you just said, there's such a high chance of going on to developing type 2 diabetes. So if you can keep that the healthy food and the healthy exercise and you've built it into part of your routine, then that's definitely going to help you in the long run for sure.
Absolutely. It's a lot more sustainable, and you know, once you've formed those habits, it's undoubtedly a lot easier and a lot better. So that's great. I feel I've learned lots of new things, but I guess the one last thing I'd like to know is, if I'm out there and I'm pregnant or I've just had my baby, how do I find someone like you that's got, you know, the qualifications that you know, knows what to tell me during pregnancy and postpartum? What am I looking for?
Yeah. So I think you just want to be, if you are someone who works out already, and that you're someone who maybe works out with a PT already, and so you probably want to check with them whether they've done their pre or postnatal qualification. And sometimes you can do almost like a 24-hour weekend pre or postnatal course, which is really good for getting you qualified in the basics of, and just knowing what to watch for, what the contraindications are, and just making sure what you're checking for. But if you're someone who's never worked out before and you're wanting to suddenly start to look after your body, start to kind of, you're mindful about what you should and not sure what you should or shouldn't be doing, then yeah, definitely reaching out to someone who is qualified is definitely the way to go about it. So from a qualification perspective, there are some great schools. I did all my qualification with someone called Burrell Education. So I would always recommend just checking out, but they have qualifications from a good school. Has done more of a advanced training, which is more than just a weekend.
Okay, great, thank you. And so do you offer online courses now? Do you do one-to-one via video with your clients? Has that all sort of changed?
Yeah, so do you know what? This whole situation has brought a whole new dimension to fitness and to working out. Currently I do online virtual one-to-ones, and then also face-to-face outside, location dependent. And then, yeah, we have an online studio where we do, this is our studio here, bathed in sunlight at the moment, where we're doing fitness and also yoga classes on a weekly basis, daily weekly basis. Yeah, so we'll put on ways in which you can find out.
I'd love that. So as Letty just said, I'll pop those links in the show notes. And thank you so much. It's been fantastic speaking to you.
Thank you so much for having me on. I hope to see you soon.
Perfect. Thank you. I really hope you enjoyed listening, and I'd love if you'd give me a 5-star review and subscribe so that other people can find me too. I'm also at Healthy Eating Doctor on Instagram, and I have lots more nutrition education information on both my video courses and on my website, healthyeatingdoctor.com.